Today is Father's Day, and the message will be on fathers. And actually, it's for everyone that's here to see the Scripture speaks to us in various and different ways. But the title of this morning is Being a Man of God, and we're going to see what Paul has to say. You know, we've all had mentors in our life that has been there for us and kind of advised us and taught us and led in such a way that helps us understand that being a father or a man or a leader is important. It's how we lead that provides leadership in the future as well. So Paul here is giving instructions to a young man named Timothy. And it'd be wise for us to take heed to what Paul is saying in other scriptures that relate to being a man of God. So follow along with me as we look, first of all, at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Paul says, "But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we have shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plague men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness and godliness and faith and love and perseverance and gentleness." Gentleness can also refer to meekness. And in verse 12, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Now I go to verse 20 and 21. Here Paul is giving Timothy encouragement to guard what has been entrusted to him. So Paul says, "O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge." And then verse 21, "in which have some professed and thus gone astray from the faith." And then Paul says, "Grace be with you." So as we look at this Father's Day message this morning, we're going to look at being a man of God. And masculinity is under attack in America. If you haven't noticed, it is. Just as internet search for masculinity, you see how many times the term toxic masculinity pops up. But masculinity can be a good thing when understood properly and taught to our young people, to our children, to the boys, and to our youth. You know, it's important that we do that. So it's important to think about masculinity because of how we act as a man and how we act as a father. It's an example that we're going to be passing it on to our children and our children's children generation. If you remember Ronald Reagan's speech on the nation, on young people, he said, "America is only one generation away from extinction." And we have slowly and surely seen a decline in that area in our nation. So if we set bad examples, then our sons could become something other than what God intended. And our daughters could wind up marrying a man that is not a godly man. So in this passage today, we're looking at the advice of the Apostle Paul that gives young Timothy how to be a man of God. So I want you to note that a man of God is how he lives and what he stands for. It is so much different than what the world envisions a man of God being. So first of all, let's look at what Paul says a true man of God is in verses 6 through 12 and 21. So in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, Paul says, "Take heed to yourself," which means watch your life. Take heed. Now that means to stand up and pay attention. But it means to watch how you live your life, how you conduct yourself within your home or your church, or if you're leading in any particular area of life. And while caring for the needs of his people, Timothy needed to care for himself as well. So in verses 6 through 10, Paul warned Timothy that there was some around him who were teaching false doctrine. And we have that going on in our world today. It sounds good, but they may take the scripture, they may take some code of ethics and twist it to make it sound good, but it doesn't line up with what God wants us to, as men, to be and to follow according to his commandments. And it says also in verse 10, strayed from the faith in their readiness. So as Paul said here in verse 10, and because of bad motives, they shared bad information. That's what false doctrine is. That's what false teachers do. So false teachers were men of the world, but according to Timothy, in verse 11, he says, Timothy was a man of God. That's what Paul said, a man of God. This special designation, man of God, was also used by Moses, also Samuel, Elijah, King David. So Timothy here, according to Paul, was in good company with these Old Testament leaders. Now, in this passage, Paul provides four admonitions, and I want to share those. When you saw that outline this morning, you might have thought, oh my goodness, this is going to be a long one. But it's not. Bear with me. You know, I've had a long week, so sharing messages and so forth and preparing this one, it's no different that, you know, you just spend time reading, studying, and allowing God to help prepare. But when I was looking at this passage scripture, there's four admonitions to Timothy that if obeyed would assure him of success in ministry and continued testimony as a man of God. So four admonitions can help each of us becoming men and leaders, even fathers, that God desires in our life. And first one is flee from false teachers here in verse 11, part A. So the first admonition that Paul gives is true man of God is to flee from those things that will not teach or help him to lead in a godly position as a father, as a leader. Now, in verse 11, he said, "But you, O man of God, flee from these things." Paul also says abstain from anything that appears evil in his writings as well, in his epistles. And the Greek word flee that Paul used here did not refer to literal running, but to separation of these things. And these can become sins in our lives. So Paul says flee from them. Just stay away, run from them, and get away from them as fast as you can. To separate himself, whom he called men of corrupt minds. So we need to rise up, O men of God, and lead godly lives and lead our families and our nation. And whatever position that God puts us in, we need to lead in a godly way. Now, the third thing here, we are to follow after righteousness, the latter part of verse 11. The second admonition that Paul gives is to true men of God is to follow. And that's very important. Not only do we lead or flee from false teachings or anything that's false that doesn't line up with the Word of God, but we are to follow and or pursue, as we see here verse 11. According to Paul, there's six qualities. He listed each one of them that the man of God should ultimately pursue. And they are righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Those are the six qualities that Paul mentioned here to Timothy and to the leaders of the church to follow. These are the qualities kind of line up with the fruit of the Spirit. And the word righteous, I want to break each one of these down so that we will know what they mean and what it means to us as men or people of the church, people of God. So, first of all, righteousness means personal integrity. And integrity is very important in our lives. It's the truth that we know and apply in our lives to help others to follow as well. So righteousness is the righteousness of God, and we are to follow. We are to have that integrity. We are to be trusted. We are to be seen as people who teach those things as well. Godliness means practical religious conduct in our lives. And then the next one is faith. Faith might be translated as faithfulness. We need to be faithful in our as a father, as a man, as a leader. And Paul is telling Timothy, be faithful. It has been said that the greatest ability is dependability. So, and then love. That's the agape love. That means the unconditional love. That's the greatest of all. And that's the sacrifices for the sake of others. And it seeks to give and not gain. And then Paul mentions patience. Patience carries the idea of endurance. And a lot of times we just want to, give up. Okay, things are not going my way, or things are not going the way it should as far as our nation or as far as the things that we hope to see to move in a godly way. So sometimes people just want to give up, but that means endurance. It means sticking to it when things is getting tough. We know that would be God's will for our lives. And then meekness. Meekness, I think I've shared this with you before, is not weakness, but it's instead power under control. And it's God's mighty power working through our lives. See, gentleness is expression of that, which probably is the best definition for meekness, is gentleness. So just consider how modeling these six qualities could affect whom we lead and how we lead in the future, our children, our young people. We don't want this generation, the following generation, become extinct because we fail to lead in a godly manner and be men of God, a people of God. And then Paul says, fight for the faith. That's the third admonition that Paul gave, that a true man of God is to fight. Now, I want to clarify this. That doesn't mean put up your fists and start duking it out. That doesn't. That's not what it means. It's to fight the good fight of faith. This actually means keep on fighting, keep on striving, keep on moving forward and fighting for faith. See, the true nature of the Christian life is that it is a battlefield. We're in a battlefield. It's a war in this world today, trying to survive and promote the good things of life according to the scriptures. Unfortunately, there will never be a ceasefire. Never has been, will never be. So we have to keep pushing forward, fighting for what is good. Now, you must be ready at all times to fight for the faith, to fight for what you believe in. And I know that we all believe in the Word of God, and that's what we are to practice as well. But if you are walking in the Spirit in such a way that you exercise righteousness, godliness, and faith, and love, patience, and gentleness, then you will be prepared in your heart to fight spiritual battles on behalf of the Lord. That was the instruction that Paul is giving Timothy. You know, I mentioned many, many times, as my grandfather, Papa Hale, would instruct me in the same way. I think he read a lot about Paul, and he would say, Mike, you know, this, you know, growing up is tough, and you're going to be confronted with a lot of obstacles in your life and so forth. So he said, he would tell me, these are the things that we follow. And I tried to listen to him and understand that he was right in all of his endeavors as well, living true to the Word of God. This week, we studied the armor of God, taken from Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 13. And I tried to break each one of those down for the kids to understand, went through each one of them by detail. And that was our plan for the kingdom of God, that we are to put on the armor of God. And it fit very well with what I'm sharing with today. As we suit up with the whole armor of God, we have to do that every day. When we get up in the morning, we put on the helmet of salvation, the belt, the shoes, the breastplate, the whole armor of God. The Word of God helps us defend against false teaching. If we know it in our mind and memorize and know the scriptures and give our defense according to what the Bible teaches us, then we will. Paul, he's instructing Timothy to guard against all of these false teachings so that you will be a man of God and lead in that manner. Now, thirdly, be faithful always in verses 20 and 21. And this is the fourth final admonition that Paul gave to the true man of God. Be faithful. And he said, O Timothy, guard what was committed or entrusted to you. Timothy was a young man. He was still learning. He was still not mature like Paul. And Paul went through that himself. We all go through that maturity. But as we read and study God's Word and as we pray for God's leading in our lives, that's how we mature. And that's how we guard ourselves to what's been entrusted to us. As men, we have been entrusted to lead our families. We've been entrusted to lead our nation. We've been entrusted by people to lead in such a way that we will want to follow. And Timothy was glad to follow because he saw that Paul was a changed man, that God changed his life and turned him around. And then Paul was saying, you know, look at the direction I was going at one time, but now that I am following God, truly understand my part and my calling, then I too impress upon you to guard what has been entrusted to you. Be careful. Be on the outlook for things that do not pertain to God's teaching. Now, in conclusion here this morning, you know, I want to encourage each and every one of you this morning to hold on dearly to these four commandments given to young Timothy. And to each one of us, every one of us here this morning. And they are admonitions designed to help us in becoming the men and leaders or even fathers that God desires. And I want to go over those one more time. We are to flee from false teachings or teachers and false doctrine. And I know we don't purposely go around looking for things like that, but we need to be aware if we are ever confronted with false teaching, and you hear it on the news every day, the media and so forth, putting things out that sound good, but do not line up with the Word of God and the practices and the lifestyles of many, many people today. The things that are being pushed, and it works on your mind. You think, oh, well, maybe it's not so bad after all. But if you line it up with what God's teachings is, you know it's wrong. And it was in Timothy's day, it's in our day today. So we need to be on guard. We need to flee from false teachers and false doctrine. And we ought to follow after righteousness. Now, the good examples I gave you about Moses and Samuel and David and Elijah and Timothy, they followed after righteousness because God was working in their life. He set them apart. And that's why Paul would say, you know, look at all the men in the past, the prophets, who lived a righteous life. Follow in their footsteps. Follow me, as Paul was saying. And then fight the good fight. Standing in or for our faith. And we are to be faithful in the truth of God's word. Now that's I'll save that last one so that it all starts right here and ends right here in the Word of God. Men, as leaders of the church and our family, we must heed the words of the apostle, the words of Jesus, and pray that we finish in strength and victory the race that lies before us. And, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, we start. We want to end well as well. And as Paul is instructing Timothy, it's if he's instructing us as well. The whole Bible is teaching us the things that are very practical and applicable for each one of us. Masculinity is being tested today on a large, large scale. So as men, as this being Father's Day, you know, we need to renew our relationship with the Lord on a daily basis to make sure that, you know, we are practicing what God has taught us, what we know in our hearts is right, that we might be men of God, men leading in the paths of righteousness, leading in ways that people want to follow. to know that we're just not false imitators of our faith, our Christianity. We got to set the example of those who follow us. Keith Green once said, "May we be faithful to those who follow us in life." We got to be faithful. All of us, all Christians, we got to set the standard and set the bar high to others. You know, this week, you know, you watch the children, you listen to them and hear their pleas of things that's going on within their lives and their home life. You can tell, yeah, they're not living in a Christian home or setting. They're not getting the teaching and practical things that will help them to make good decisions in life. As I sit there and I listen, I wish we could just take you under our apron and teach you the things that God wants you to hear. And at the end of the week, a lot of those children say, "Can we just stay here?" Just stay here. And on Friday, I tell the kids, you know, you've been protected here. This has been like heaven to you, being taught the Word of God and you've had fun and so forth, but you're going back home to the real world. So be on guard and keep your chin up, keep your eyes on Jesus, and not get discouraged when people are not excited as you are when you go back home. I've experienced that, you know, in my life as well, and you have too. When you're all excited about what God is doing in your life, and then others haven't experienced that spiritual things and the spiritual realm of what God is doing in your life, and maybe others. But see, that's where Paul says, don't give up. Keep strong in the faith, fighting for the good of the faith, fighting for the good of the cause of the kingdom of God. Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you for the message. We pray that it fell on good ground this morning, and our hearts are all open to receive your word. We just need to put it into practice. We just need to maintain doing what you have called us to do as men and leaders and people of God. Thank you for a young man like Timothy who listened to Paul and he guarded what was entrusted to him. May we guard what's entrusted to us, that we're not waver, we're not be caught off guard by false teaching or false teachers, the false things that are being promoted in our world today, that we know what the Scripture says, that we know what the Holy Spirit is teaching us and leading us and warning us about. Lord, I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for the men of this church, the men in this community who stand strong in their faith, who are willing, not willing to waver, but are passing on what they know to their families and loved ones, and they're well respected for doing that. In this invitation, Lord, we just pray that you just touch our hearts in a special way and let us know what we need to do to make sure that we're living the example and we are teaching it to the younger generation. I praise you and I thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.